He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and it is exciting times that we are living in. If you are watching the news, if you're a Christian, then you should be excited. If you are fearful, if you are scared, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read His Word, and then you will understand that these times must come so that He can come and that we can be with Him throughout eternity. Thank you so much for joining with our broadcast. I want to offer you an invitation to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. That's hisgospelpower.org. But I would like to give you more training if you would like to get that. All you have to do is fill out your email on the front page there, and there's more training. I will put you on my email list. I will continuously be able to send you things, keep you updated on our ministry as we grow and as we minister to the world and minister to the lost around the world. I am so excited that you join with our ministry. And now let's hear about true freedom.
We're going to start a new series. I've got a new book, and it's called True Freedom is the name of the book. And this sermon series will actually be taken from that book. And so the name of the series is True Freedom. And to start off, what is freedom? What is freedom to you? Now, for years, freedom to most of us was most likely, if you were asked what is freedom, most might say America. And there was some truth to that. Freedom, of course, America has always been the land of the free. Freedom has always been the place where the free could live. That was where this country emulated freedom. Now, in the days now, it maybe not as much as it has before. As I've talked to you in the past, I think that's largely our fault as American Christians. Because we have not stood up. Because we have kept our mouth closed. Because we have not decided to speak the Word of God and tell what true freedom is. And in fact, true freedom was what this country was founded upon. Now, I want to back up just a little bit, though, even with that statement. Because really the truth of the matter is that even those who came over, the pilgrims who came over, really the true freedom they were looking for was freedom of their religion. Not freedom of religion, but freedom of their religion. Because those same people that came that were persecuted, persecuted others. Because they didn't believe the same way they did. Now, that changed with the great awakenings that we had and the things that happened in history, that a lot of that changed and began to us thinking that, hey, this is the way that we should live as Christians. So what is true freedom to you? Well, freedom today is under attack. I think you would agree with that. Many of our freedoms have been stripped. And in fact, as I told you a few weeks ago, Congressman Carter had told me that if the Christians do not wake up today, they will wake up tomorrow without the freedom of religion that they enjoy today. Without the freedom to speak the name of Jesus Christ openly today, and in fact, may be persecuted for speaking His name at all. Because we are entering into a new era that mainly we have. In one way, you can say we have allowed it to happen. In another way, we know that the end is coming near, and so that God allowed some of this to happen as well because of our disobedience. Just as He allowed Israel to be chastised because of their disobedience, I believe the same is happening with America. He does the same thing, that He allows us this to be chastised. Bye.
Oh.
I love it when children are in the audience because you know somebody's there, right? And that can be your amen corner. I know that my grandchild last week was my amen corner, and she's only 5 months old, and she was just talking during the service. She was just telling us, you know, so it was encouraging. Well, freedom is a word that outlines the very definition of the Bible. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, it tells us about freedom, but a very specific freedom. And it is the freedom that God gives us no matter our circumstances, no matter where we live, no matter what is happening. Now, I know that's easy for us to say because we're Americans. And we're not experiencing a lot of the persecution that is going on in the rest of the world. At the present, we are not concerned too much as to whether we walk out the doors and have our heads chopped off. But we are still under persecution, and it is a steady and very calculated persecution that is happening today that is trying to head us for another time that we will not be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the God of this age, who is Satan, that's little g, by the way, that's the temporary God of this age, and that is what God named him. He gave him basically domain over this world, over the world itself, because of the disobedience of man. So he allowed Satan to be the god of this age, little g, and people are following him and flocking to him and laughing at the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And so he is the truth. And in fact, what we are trying to do now is to redefine what truth is. We're trying to remove the definition of truth, who is Jesus, and replace it with a false truth of our day. And perhaps you've heard the word political, or the words political correctness, which is basically just a lie that is glazed over. You no longer can call someone queer. Now they're gay. Now see, the word queer means odd. And so if you call someone queer, then they are odd, and they're no longer odd because it's okay. In fact, it's getting now where you almost can't call them homosexual any longer. They are gay. Politically correct, we should call them gays. But which is just a glazed over lie, because it takes away the true definition of who they are. The same can go for alcoholics. Now, alcoholism is a disease, correct? Well, according to the Bible, it's called sin. According to the Bible, alcoholism is called sin. Now, cancer is a disease. Cancer is a disease that someone gets and they can do nothing about. Alcoholism is a choice. Now, am I saying that it's not difficult to get over? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that alcohol grabs someone in its grip and it hangs on, and it is difficult, if not impossible, to defeat without the help of someone, and I'm going to say that someone is namely Jesus Christ. But alcoholism, at least by this preacher's standards, is no disease. It is sin. I think the Bible is very specific for that. It has been just a few short years ago that all of a sudden they have found a murderous gene. And now this murderous gene might make it to where murder is now something that they can't help. It's part of them. Now, all of these things that I lined and many other sins, and I'm not letting anybody in the room off the hook because you have gossip. You got slander. You have white lies. Uh-oh. Now, I know I've hit everybody in the room with that one. Right? Including the guy that's got his finger pointing at you because three of them are pointing back. Right? I've hit everybody in the room because James 2:10 says, if you've broken the least of these commandments, you've broken them all. God does not grade sin. Sin is sin. All sin will lead you to destruction and to death without Jesus Christ. I used to have a man at the church in Meadowbrook when I would preach these kind of sermons, especially with white lies. He had a real struggle with that. We would have debates on Monday morning about white lies. Surely, the white lie, even Jesus committed a white lie, he said, which is not true. That is not true. He gave me the scripture that basically when Jesus had told them that he wasn't going to go, told the apostles he was not going to go into town, and then later went into town. That did not mean anything other than Jesus wasn't going to go into town with them, but later he was going to go into town, or whatever it meant, but he did not commit a white lie because he was sinless. And sin is sin. See, we grade sin. We're people. You know, trust me, I grade sin. If someone harms one of my grandbabies, I'm going to grade sin. I can tell you. It's just the way it is. But God tells us that if we will experience the true freedom from our sin, who is Jesus Christ, then we can have that inner peace that we are to have. Number one, when we stand for God, we must realize we are standing with God. It's a famous saying in America. God bless America. Wonderful, isn't it? We sing songs about it. We face the flag, put our hands over our heart. God bless America. It's great, right? But I'm going to tell you, it's really only a great sentiment. Because what we should be praying, and in fact, there was a campaign for a while that I actually worked with a man for a while in America, bless God. Because you see, if it's God bless America, we're asking God to leave where He's at, which is the truth, and come over and bless what we're doing. You know, God, you leave your place and you come over with us and bless me, what I'm doing. Bless what I'm doing. Bless that I'm being politically correct. Bless that I think that all homosexuals should be embraced. Bless that I think adultery is okay. Bless that alcoholism is a disease. Now, once we do that, we are now bringing God down to our level and He is no longer the all-powerful God. We have weakened Him to come and stand with us. And in fact, the truth is He's not going to do that. In fact, the truth is that He just stands where He is in His almighty glory and says, Rick, no, you come over and you bless me. In fact, you come over and you stand with me. Because you see, where you're standing is where sin lives. But where I'm standing is where the truth lives. And so you come over and you stand with the truth. Don't stay over there and ask me to come where I cannot go. Because that is where sin lives. And God's not going to come to where sin is. He's not going to bring Himself to our level. He wants to bring us up to His level. And I'm a lot more excited about that, about coming to His level. There was a time in my life when I was saying, Lord, bless me. And now I'm beginning to understand, Lord, I want to go with You and be blessed with You instead. Glenn Beck said in his book, Glenn Beck's Common Sense, The Case Against an Out-of-Control Government, he said, only those afraid of the truth seek to silence debate, intimidate those with whom they disagree, or slander their ideological counterparts. Those who know they are right have no reason to stifle debate, because they realize that all opposing arguments will ultimately be overcome by fact. In other words, we have the truth. I don't have to silence the atheists, the homosexuals, the murderers, the adulterers, or anyone else who would decide that they want to come against the truth. We're talking about capital T, the truth. It's His name. It's one of the names, the many names of Jesus, capital T. I am the truth. And yet, the world is trying to redefine the truth to the truth. Well, we saw in that movie last night, God is not dead. The professor, that what did he try to do in the very beginning of the movie? Let's just silence the debate before it ever even starts. You see, when you silence the debate, you don't have to confront the truth. Then your own truth becomes truth. Well, Rick, truth is relative, though. One person's truth might not be another one's truth. Oh, really? Do you believe that? Well, I'm going to tell you, I used to do the prison ministry. And there were some murderers who believed that their truth was okay. Now, most of the murderers that I talked with had repented and had come to Jesus, and they understand murder is not a truth. It's not good. But what of those murderers that believed that their truth was okay? What of those pedophiles that believe that their truth is okay? I'm just loving those children, they say. I've talked with some of them. You know, they just misunderstood. I'm just loving those children. Well, what's wrong then? We ought to be good with that, right? The rest of the world should be good with that. What's the problem? What are you frowning for? I don't understand. I mean, truth is relative. In fact, he made such a great argument on the movie. It was awesome. The way that he turned it around on the professor. Because truth is truth. It is not relative. It is outlined for us in the Word of God, who tells us who the truth is. And that is Jesus Christ. Number two, it's only through truth that the United States can hope to survive. It's only through truth of realizing that our enemy is anyone who holds an ideology against the Word of God. That's the only way we can hope to survive in this country, is that we have to proclaim the Word of God, though, so that lives will be changed. We have to be the strong young man who was in the movie, who was not afraid. And actually, that's not even true. He was afraid. Right? He was afraid. Sure he was. You know, a few weeks ago, I told you I was sitting next to the atheist on the plane. We talked. I'm going to tell you right now. As we began, I was afraid. Now, why would you be afraid? I mean, I'm a pretty educated guy. And I've been through seminary. I have my doctorate degree. You know, I'm pretty educated. Why would I be afraid to sit there and talk to this guy? Well, because the fear was, is that what if I did more harm than good? What if I pushed him further from God instead of brought him to God? So I could have closed my mouth, been safe, said, yeah, I'm a preacher. I've got to read. Excuse me, I got, you know. And actually, he would have been happy because he was already starting to read a little book and he was doing, he would have probably been happy too. We'd been good to go. We'd have parted, say, hey, it was nice sitting next to you on the plane. Boom, we're out of here. Instead, I decided to open my mouth and take the risk. And the turnout was good. It turned out good. Now, there wasn't another soul in kingdom, at least as of that day, but I know that it was a seed planted because he went from an atheist to an agnostic. And an eighth of the atheist is someone who says they don't believe in God, even though I know that's not true. Really, in fact, if you read the book of Romans, chapter 1, you'll see that that is not true. But they believe it. They've convinced themselves that they don't believe there's a God. And then an agnostic just believes that there's there is a God, but he basically doesn't care about us. He doesn't do anything. You know, he just kind of sits up there on his throne, just kind of watches the world go by, whatever. Occasionally, just for pleasure, just kind of flicks somebody out of the way. So they believe there's a God. That's what an agnostic is. But we went from not believing in God to believing in God. That was a step. So I didn't do any harm. And the same can be said for you. When the person that you're with, that you can tell them about Jesus. And I'm going to tell you that if you just proclaim the truth, you will not do any harm. All you have to do is open your mouth, speak the gospel, and the Holy Spirit does the work. You don't save anybody. I can't save anyone. I'd like to. Probably many of us want to be the Holy Spirit. We try it, right? You should do this. You should do this. You should do this. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. We try to be the Holy Spirit. What does that usually do? Pushes away. Talk to the hand. I don't care anything about that. That's what it does. Instead, we take the risk. And in fact, there's very little risk. In fact, I'm going to state there is no risk when we proclaim the gospel. If we allow God to take over, the Holy Spirit to do the convicting, a life will be changed. They may not accept Jesus Christ from you, but I'm going to promise you a life has changed. And there will come a day as you're planting that seed that someone else plants the seed and someone else tills the soil and someone else waters the ground and someone else, and then one day somebody harvests. You know the greatest thing about being the preacher is I'm the harvester. And I can't really say that we don't do any of the work because we do, but really, see, a lot of people say, well, I never get anybody saved. Let me tell you something. When you go to heaven, I believe there's going to be a multitude that you're going to see that is directly because you spoke the gospel to them. When they come through those doors, they're ready. It's already fertile ground. And they hear the gospel one last time in a setting such as this, and the conviction becomes so much, and they say, I got to get saved. But you know, I didn't do it. And there's no way that I would run around and say, oh, well, I got two came to the Lord today in my service. Well, big deal. They could have gone down the road to another service and still got saved because somebody else did the work. And it wasn't me who did the work. We have to stand and realize that our enemy is anyone who holds the ideology against the Word of God. Now, well, we're running out of time. I am not going to say, thank you. I am not going to say, somebody might out here is probably going to disagree with you though. So, she told me just keep going. So, I'm not going to say that we should hate individuals. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to confront what is not the truth. And we need to be able to speak that we are Christians and that we love Jesus Christ. That is what we have to do as Christians. Number three, freedom comes from truth. Political correctness is not truth. We are purporting a lie these days, in the name of saving someone's feelings. But is it really saving anything? Now, if you go to the doctor, you're going to expect that the doctor has your health in mind, would you not? That's why you're going to him. You want him to tell you what's wrong with you. Is that correct? When someone is obese and they go to the doctor, I don't know about y'all, and I haven't been to many doctors, not maybe because I don't want to hear the truth, but but I know that people, friends of mine who go to the doctor, if they're a little overweight, what does the doctor tell them to do? Lose some weight. Right? You don't want them to lie to you and tell you, you know, you're 300 pounds overweight. You know what? Don't worry about a thing. You're doing good. It's okay. You want him to tell you if you would lose a good 200 of that, that your health will get better. Isn't that what you want? You don't want the doctor to be politically correct. You want the truth. So why do we tippy-toe around and expect to be politically correct while sending someone to hell? Why should we do that? It's expected of us because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But I'm going to tell you the sad, bad news that if you do not proclaim the gospel, the Bible tells us their blood is on our hands. Well, it doesn't let us off the hook much, does it? Their blood is on our hands. God expects us to proclaim His truth so that they might be free in Christ and free indeed. Now, you knew it had to happen. You knew I was going to get to the scripture eventually. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. I want you to hear this through. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And he's talking about this ministry that he's given to us, each one. Rather, we have renounced the secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbelievers. That's Satan, by the way, the God of this age. So that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You see what Paul is saying? This political correctness is deception. It is to deceive the unknowing world to think what they are doing is okay. And it allows sin and corruption to creep into our society until today, when it is blatant in our society. When everything that used to be good is no longer good. It is no longer good to wait until marriage to have sexual relations. It is now expected that you are to go and live with someone 2 to 3 years before you're married. And check it out. All of what we are seeing, that when the Bible tells us when evil is good and good is evil, it's time to look up. Because we're in the last days, we're in the end of times. We're studying the book of Revelation on Wednesday. Really, specifically, we're studying the last days, but we're in the book of Revelation. I'm going to tell you that I believe unequivocally that we are in the last days. And you know, the Bible tells us that there will be those, and perhaps you're even one of them. Well, come on, Rick, where is this coming? I've heard about it. We've heard about it for 2,000 years. Paul said we were in the last days when he wrote most of the Bible. That was almost 2,000 years ago. Where is this coming? It's just, the days just keep on going on. Everybody's laughing and joking and having a good time. What's the deal? God, and I believe it was spoken eloquently on that film last night, on that movie. God is waiting till that time that the last one can come to Jesus. And then he's going to end evil. It'll be done. Evil will be over. It will be vanquished. There will be no more political correctness because the truth will be on the throne and we will see him plainly. And those who follow political correctness will be thrown into the lake of fire because they're following the devil. The truth is veiled by Satan to keep intended relationships of people broken down. Instead of allowing us to come together and show the love of Jesus Christ to each other, he keeps breaking these relationships down and putting barriers in front. The true freedom that we have is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the only hope that we have. He is the only hope of true freedom. Because when you begin to see Jesus for what he is and understand his freedom, it releases you. It allows you to call a sin, and it allows the alcoholic to become clean and no longer be in bondage to the alcohol. It allows the homosexual to see that this is a separation between me and God. And if I want to get close to God, then I've got to get right with God. It allows the gossip to see that if I continue to gossip, that I'm separated from God. It allows the guy that's telling white lies to know that, you know what? That's separating my relationship. Now, we're going to all sin. It's going to continue. It's not going to stop. Because we're weak humans. We make mistakes and we sin. And what happens when we sin, even though you are saved? Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. I do not believe that the willful alcoholic, the willful adulterer, the willful homosexual will be in the kingdom of heaven. I don't believe that. But I do believe, according to Scripture and according to the grace of God and what I've read, I do believe that the alcoholic who has sought God, who is clean for a year, 2 years, 5 years, and succumbs one night to the alcohol again, and falls and stumbles and gets drunk, I believe he's going to be in heaven. I believe that he will repent again because his heart will be facing to God. I believe that the homosexual, the same exact thing, that comes to God and his life's changed, but then succumbs to that sin in a moment of weakness, will be saved. I believe the same can be said even for the adulterer. But I also believe that when you come to Christ and you study his word and you get a close relationship because you have now acknowledged the truth and given over, thrown out the lie, that you will be less likely to fall into those temptations again, relying on the truth to set you free. That's what we're missing in America today. That's why we don't have true freedom, because we will not acknowledge the lie that allows us to give up the lie and follow only the truth.
Thank you for joining with us on this segment of His Gospel Power. I'm Rick Hurtless. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, hisgospelpower.org, www.truthandliberty.org. And there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter and, in fact, with any future support that you would like to give to this radio ministry. If it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.